This is Big Mike Michael Elgin, and you're listening to the Strong Style Story Podcast.
And welcome to a kind of shorthanded edition of Strong Style Story Podcast. This is episode 22. I am the host, Jeffrey Wessel. You could find me at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter. We run the regular blog at strongstylestory.tumblr.com. And you're listening to this either from strongstylestory.podomatic.com or searching iTunes for Strong Style Story Podcast. Hit the ratings there, because we still don't have any, and we really would like some feedback on this. With me today, running solo, as it were, is Lawrence O'Brien. Lawrence, how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing good. I feel like I now have to take the load here, and I'm a little scared.
I'm afraid
of the responsibility.
Yeah, you're moving up into the main event here, brother. I'm sorry to say. Yeah, you've gone from young lion duty to main eventing Corican here. It's how this is going. Oh, boy, we have a lot to get through today because New Japan has just kind of slammed us with shows the last week. So we'll just kind of get right to it. On the 6th of March was the anniversary show. Prior to that, on March the 1st and 3rd were two New Japan Road shows that were kind of significant for various reasons. The show on the 1st, of course, had the main event of dual Tiger Masks. Tiger Mask W and Tiger Mask 4 going over Kazuchika Okada and Gedo, with Tiger beating Gedo with a Tiger Mask 4, I should say. Wait a minute. Tiger Mask 4 beating Gedo with the good old Tiger Suplex hold. Oddly enough, discussing all these Tiger Masks, later today, Lawrence and I will be recording the next episode of Strong Style History, which you can hear over at Place to Be Nation and the Pro Wrestling Only Boards podcast feed. We will be going over the complete history of Tiger Mask in 60 minutes or less. So,
and we mean complete. So please look forward to watching us, listening to us talk about Minoan. So,
yes, exactly. This is it's going to be as comprehensive as we can be. So, stay tuned for that. That New Japan Road Show was kind of okay. There was nothing too special. Davey Boy Smith Jr. really beat the hell out of David Finlay in that tag match.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he kind of beat the hell out of him in that one. But
I kind of like Davey just being a shooter now. Like I love it, honestly.
it's that Suzuki rubbing off on him. Is
pretty much.
Yep. Yeah, so, and then on the 3rd,
you know who he's good friends with, too? I don't know if you know.
Who's that?
Hideki Suzuki and him are apparently, like, really good friends.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if you like, because I'm friends with Hideki Suzuki on Facebook. He's actually, like, his picture is him and Davey Boy together, so.
Wow,
yeah, they're pretty tight, yeah. So, like, he's getting the shooter, the shooting from everybody.
Oh, boy. maybe he'll be the next one. Who knows? The New Japan Road Show that was on the 3rd of March at the Okinawa Prefectural Budokan. This one didn't make video in a way that's kind of good. Even though we kind of hated the fact that we weren't gonna get to see the Ryukyu Dragon Pro Wrestling guys, Ryukyu Dog Dingo and Chirami Saber. On these shows. Yeah, I mean, yeah, for Lawrence being the sleaze fiend that he is, that kind of put a paw on things. But what really put a paw on things was Tomaki Honma suffered a freak spinal paralysis after taking a draping DDT from Jado in a tag match. This is you know, what Jado calls Green Killer. And, you know, it's you know, would be a, you know, a fairly standard move. I mean, Kazuchika Okada does a draping DDT, usually from the gate to the floor.
Oh, yeah, you know, Randy Orton's done it for years.
Yeah, too. I mean, it's a fairly standard move, but for some reason, I think Honma's foot got caught on the rope, and it kind of led to a chain reaction where he was paralyzed from the neck down. Now, I am going to tag this with it. Yes, of all wrestlers for this to happen to, and for us to talk about, Tomaki Honma, who we've discussed on this show numerous times, for various reasons. I mean, I'm just going to tag this with, I'm still not the biggest fan of Tomaki Honma. I think there's some shadiness about him, and he has some accusations still hanging over him that were never addressed really one way or the other, and I think really need to one way or the other. But, you know, at the same time, I don't think, you know, anybody who's, I mean, I don't want, you know, anything horrible to happen to him, but, you know, it's kind of a difficult situation.
Yeah, I still actually have not watched the video of him, and I don't think I plan on it, because it just, I don't like watching things like that. If I can't help it.
Well, I'm with like, you. I've never watched the video of Hayabusa getting injured.
I've unfortunately seen it.
I never watched the video of Misawa dying in the ring. Gosh, so yeah, no.
Unfortunately, I have seen those. It's just like, and it was in like passing. I've seen it, and it's just like, oh god, it was.
Well, you know,
the Misawa looked bad. Like,
yeah, My Faces of Death, you know, fascination ended when I was in college. You know, it's like, I don't need to see, you know, snuff films, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. It's very, like, hard stuff to watch. Like, the Misawa one wasn't, like, it didn't look bad, but, like, after it happened, it looked bad. It was one of those situations, and the Hayabusa one just looked horrible. Like that, there was just no way around it. That was just.
I'm going to take your word for it, because I've never seen it, never seen photos of it. I have no interest. I can live a long, healthy life without ever seeing.
It's one of the most horrific looking.
Yeah, pro wrestling snuff films. Yeah, no, I'm sorry, but
it's awful. Yeah, so I don't plan on watching this Honma film either, because I wasn't watching live when it happened, and this was on the show that wasn't taped. Okay,
yeah, this was not taped as far as I know, I don't know if there is video. It's got to be fan cam.
All right, so I'm glad. I'm glad it at least didn't like happen.
Right. There were some photos of it that made the rounds.
Yeah, I saw like. I maybe saw a photo of him on the ropes, but I didn't see like him getting his head like completely.
Yeah, there was a photo of him on the ropes. There was, you know, the aftermath where the look on the face of friend of the show Michael Elgin pretty much said it all.
Oh man, yeah.
And you know, there was a photo of him being loaded into an ambulance.
Yeah, they have said that he's apparently gotten feeling back.
Yeah, he said he was able. Last I saw, which was about the 6th or 7th, he said he was starting to get feeling and movement back. He could grip objects. Yeah. So
he's going to sit for a while though, because he's at like swelling, and I think he has like swelling in one of the discs. They said.
Yeah, he has had spinal swelling, and which is why they weren't talking surgery yet. I think this is pretty much the same, pretty much the similar injury to Masato Yoshino of Dragon Gate.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I've been hearing.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot he had the same sort of thing happen to him very recently, too. Yeah, that's dangerous stuff, man. You can't mess with that. You cannot, like, move a person when they're like that.
Yeah, I wish him a recovery. I also wish that the things hanging over him would get resolved too.
I hear you on that. Yeah.
Because if nothing else, I mean, I think you know, Kyoko Ichiki needs closure on this too. you know, no matter what, you know, either which way. So, and I mean, that's about as diplomatic as I can be on that. I mean, answers need to be had. So, anyway, but yeah, there was nothing really else of note. I mean, it was a house show. On that show, I think it probably would be less infamous if it weren't for the injury to Honma. So,
I'm sure it was. Yeah, that was the big, obviously the huge news coming out of that. That was that nothing else really was a factor.
Yeah, exactly. So let's move on. We had the Raising Raising an Army anniversary, the 45th anniversary show of New Japan Pro Wrestling from the old home, Tokyo Ota War Gymnasium. Apparently it was a sellout show. And no reason why it shouldn't be. This was a pretty decent card, actually. As we move forward on this, the results, I think we're just going to concentrate on the feature and the title matches, as always. I mean, unless you really want to know that, you know, Manabu Nakanishi beat Tomoyuki Oka with a torture rack. I mean, unless you really, really need to know that, you could see the results on the blog. So,
kind of funny though, like, because like Oka and him have like very, very similar like backgrounds and like in how they made it to New Japan. So it was actually kind of neat that they paired them together.
Not to mention looks at this point.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No. That, really though. Like you're 100% right. Like they have like almost the same type of body like set. It's interesting.
It is. I was waiting for Oka's hair to grow back out so he's not, you know, he doesn't look like he's 37. You know,
he won't ever grow back out. Maybe he's just done. It's just it's over. He's just gonna need like Rogaine for the rest of his life. I don't know.
But anyway, so the first title match was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Match, in which Yoshinobu Kanemaru and Taichi beat Roppongi Vice for the titles. Kanemaru pinning Beretta after a highball W. Oh boy!
You know, credit to Roppongi Vice, they got about as good of a match as you're going to get out of Kanemaru and Taichi. That's what I have to say about this match.
They
worked hard to get the most out of those two freaking hacks, and they did pretty admirably. I will say that it was just, man,
the
titles don't matter much, but God, like, why them? Why?
And afterwards they were challenged by the world class tag team of Jado and Gato.
Honestly, you know what? Like at this point, why not? why not?
Yeah. I still don't mind Jado and Gato. I still don't mind them as a team. It's and they're over as hell still to this day.
Of course, yeah. I really hope they beat these two freaking losers. I really hope they do. I hope they hot shot it off these.
Everybody hates Taichi. Just straight up, everybody hates Taichi. No way around this, and Roppongi Vice. You also got a feel for them because they were supposed to be on the Ring of Honor 50th anniversary pay per view against the Young Bucks for the titles. Well, then they hot shotted the Hardys to those titles, so it became a three way. And good crikey,
Taichi is pretty much the equivalent of like wrestling herpes. Like he just doesn't go away. Like he just.
Oh my goodness!
He's just everywhere, and he just doesn't go away, and he's just an annoyance everywhere, and it's just like good lord. Yeah, like, every singles match with the Suzuki, God.
Yeah, we'll get into that here shortly.
Oh yeah, actually, kind of relates. Oh boy.
Yeah. Following that match, for the Revolution Pro Undisputed British Heavyweight Title. They debut the NJPW debutant Zack Sabre Jr. beats Katsuyori Shibata, so the series is 2-1 now.
But there's a lot of buts here.
Oh yes,
yeah, a lot of things happened with this one. There was shenanigans, Suzuki shenanigans everywhere.
Oh, and yes.
That kind of put a damper on the third edition of this rivalry here.
Yeah, it really kind of did. I can see kind of Sabre Jr. I mean, with his style aligning with Suzuki, but and let's face it, Suzuki Gun kind of needs the numbers. What with Lance Archer being out indefinitely himself with spinal injuries, but yeah, I mean that was yeah. I mean, it really kind of put a damper on that match, and which was actually I thought was going really really well beforehand. Oh, yeah. It seemed like, for some reason, in the New Japan ring, it seemed, I don't know why, it just seemed like Zack Sabre Jr. was, like, emaciated. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I haven't seen enough Zack Sabre Jr., but he just looked emaciated in that match.
I've actually seen, like, some people, like, kind of talk about Sabre's look, and it's definitely not your, traditional look. I will admit that. I like Sabre, but yeah. Does he have like your traditional like look of a guy? No, not really. But yeah, I like Sabre though. But
I don't dislike him. He just for some reason in New Japan he just looked skinnier than he usually does. I don't know. Maybe it was just an illusion or something. But that's just how it came off.
Yeah, no, I see. No, and like, you're not the only one who like notices that either. It's I know I've seen a couple people say like they just can't really take some of his offense seriously with his size. So it's like I kind of get that where people come from there, but this was strange. This was strangely done. I mean I don't think really anyone saw this coming, but. Like, I don't know if it's really a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. This is just kind of weird. Especially just after all the Noah stuff, like, where Sabre just, like, ripped those guys to shreds at times. And it just seems, like, just not right. It just doesn't seem right, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, no, I'm with you. It's very strange. But it really hasn't seemed to have amounted to much of anything as yet, although we will talk about that, the show from the next night.
Sabre said at least he doesn't have to face Tai Chi in singles anymore, though. So.
well, that's always a plus. I mean, read into that what you will, yes.
Amazing. God, Sabre's funny.
The following match, the IWGP Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, Tenkoji, Hiroshi Tenzan, and Satoshi Kojima, filling in for GBH because, of course, with the injury to Honma, that would have left Makabe without a partner, and he decided he wasn't going to go through with it, with a fill-in guy. So Tenkoji stepped in, and Tenkoji bested Toriano and Tomohiro Ishii, Kojima hitting a lariat on Yano, and Tenkoji are now the champions.
I am all aboard the Tenkoji train.
I don't hate this at one bit. I think this is great.
I'm all about it. They performed very admirably here, too. I thought it was a really fun little good little tag match they had. With Yano and Ishii. I liked it, enjoyed it. And it's just, that you're going to get pretty quality matches out of those guys.
Yeah, I mean,
so the tag division
Kojima
might actually get a little boost with those two. Like
Kojima can still go. I mean, Kojima can still go.
Jesus, yeah. Even Tenzan, supplement him, still, course, yeah. And Kojima's great. I mean, I think they did, honestly, they just probably put the title on Kojima because, like, he's just so over right now on Twitter.
Let's talk about that for 2 seconds. Can we give all of the love to Satoshi Kojima's English tweets his new unit, Bread Club?
Oh my God, Kojima's These tweets are a joy to read.
They really are.
Brother Kojim was talking about replenishing his carbs after his workouts with his bread. Oh my god, I love this guy so much.
Kojima has always been one of my favorites, and you know the fact.
I always get my daily Japan weather report from him too. That's always good.
Yeah. Seriously, if you have not, at Cozy, COZY underscore Lariat, you need to see Satoshi Kojima, especially when he does his English tweets, because they are just a beautiful thing to behold. And I mean that with all seriousness. I love reading these tweets every day. They make me feel. Although, actually, you know, since he does them when he wakes up, which you know is about 10 p.m. You know, it's at the evening here when it's morning in Japan. So it's like I go to bed feeling so good after reading a Satoshi Kojima tweet. You know,
he checked in with Carl Anderson the other day. He's like, "Chad-san, how are you? Are you feeling well?"
Oh, that's great. That is great. Oh boy.
Oh god, he's such a nice guy. I love him. He's so nice.
Oh boy. Moving on. Back to the show. The Ingobernables, Naito, Sonata, Evil Bushi beat Tanahashi, Elgin, Juice Robinson, and Kushida. Naito hitting Robinson with Destino. I mean, so no, they did not bury Robinson in this, for God's sake.
Yeah, it was about time he honestly took a pin instead. he honestly was like getting like a lot of wins in these tag matches. So
he was kind of I mean, a tag match. You know, he can afford to take a loss every so often. Yeah. Following that, the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. This match was fantastic. Hiromu Takahashi defeating Ryusuke Taguchi, hitting time bomb at the 17-minute, 42-second mark. I love this match.
I don't want to hear another goddamn insult towards Taguchi ever again. Like, can we just put it to rest? Like, the guy is a freaking great wrestler. Okay, listen. He is a funny guy that chooses to do funny things in a lot of matches, and then when he needs to get serious, he'll do it. And this is the situation that calls for it, and it was fantastic. He's just...
I like the fact that at the beginning of the match, Takahashi, that Hiromu was out Taguchi-ing Taguchi. So how does Taguchi...
Oh, yeah.
So Taguchi responds by becoming Katsuyori Shibata for a few minutes.
Yes. Yeah. I love it. Taguchi just, he just lost it on him. He just, like, throwing him in ankle locks, and oh, God, just... tying him in knots. I love it, man. Taguchi is so good.
Hiromu ended up having to do some mat wrestling for once. I mean,
And exactly what I said. He was going to make Hiromu wrestle, and I love that. That was really
good. And he won in the process. Yep. So, I mean, yeah. I mean, I have nothing but praise for Hiromu, because I think he is exactly what the junior division has needed. Right now. And just keep in mind, too, we still have the likes of, you know, Sho and Yohei to come back, as well as Jay White. So, I mean, let's get happy about that coming soon.
Oh, man.
The main event of the anniversary show was Kazuchika Okada beating totally not Kota Ibushi, who right now was just wrestling on a car against Jimmy Havoc in London as we speak. I think that match just ended, actually.
Of course he is.
Of course he is.
Of course. I think he had fireworks at some point, too. I was
reading. Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I'd be disappointed if he didn't. Anyway, so Okada beat Tiger Mask W at the 27-minute, 3-second mark, hitting Rainmaker. It's amazing how Tiger Mask took Cody's advice about the mask.
Oh man, you know it. I guess you know he's a pretty good listener.
Yeah, you know this Ibushi guy. He runs a Pro Wrestling Institute. He might know what he's talking about.
he has done a lot of research.
He's done some research. Anyway, I like this match because I really like this match because we got to see the heel Rainmaker for the first time in a while.
I love D-Bag Okada. That's like my favorite kind of Okada. And I enjoy his matches much more when he was actually working like that. I love that side of him.
It's been a while. I mean, cause it's
yeah, I know the situation really hasn't called for it as of late. The way they booked him, I get it. I know, but like, I just really liked it.
When you're booking him against an actual anime superhero, you really kind of need to be the heel in that match. You know, I mean, it's just kind of how it is.
You're like, screw you, dude. You're an anime character. Like, I don't need to, like, I'm not going to go and, like, bow down to you. I'm just going to go and
I've done anime. This is...
yeah.
I've done anime. I've been through anime.
Brother, I've done that.
I've been an anime character twice now.
Yeah,
on two different shows.
Listen,
yeah.
You ain't shit, buddy.
But yeah, no, it was a good match, and you know, both Okada and Okada and Ibushi really work well together. I mean, it's a shame that they had never had like an extended program against each other because between that match in DET that they had in 12, I think, and then New Japan World put up the 42nd anniversary show main event, in which it was Okada and Ibushi proper, which, you know, that was back when Ibushi was the IWGP Junior Champion. And Okada was, you know, much as now, the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. I thought both of those matches were fantastic.
Kota's just a good foil for certain guys, and he's a perfect foil for Okada.
Yeah, I mean, they work well, very well together. I mean, it's there's no way around that. I wish they would have, like I said, kind of an extended program, you know?
Yeah, hey, I think it was a good one-off, though. I think for now that was a really good one-off to have.
And, yeah, I think so, too.
I dug it. It was a pretty good show. I thought the anniversary show was pretty darn
It was pretty darn solid. I mean, it was pretty solid. So yeah. Now I don't know. I don't know what the future of the Tiger Mask W shtick is going to be. I mean, I guess that the anime keeps going longer than I had expected. I expected this to be like a 13 episode series, you know, a 13-episode season, and it keeps going, so I don't know what the future holds.
Hey, you know, gotta please the anime marks, you know?
Well, you know. Shout out to Chris DeMasa, though.
Well, I didn't say Chris's name specifically, but
you know me, I like to blow gimmicks, so you know it's. You know. On that note, we're going to be giving Chris had some feels that he needed to let loose upon us, so we're going to be giving him. He couldn't be here today. Neither could JB because he did a big gallery opening last night for a show for an art show that he's curating of wrestling related art. It's called Time is a Squared Circle, and you can it's at Flair Chicago. The big premiere was on Saturday night, March 11th. I think it's running until April. So if you're in the Chicago area, check out Flair Chicago and go check that out. Steve, of course, is not here because, you know, he's a father now, and that's that's gonna take up a bunch of time. Trust me, I speak from experience. So,
you know, Steve is performing admirably in his situation, I must say.
Indeed he is. So back to the wrestling for a few minutes. The next night they had another Raising an Army anniversary show at Crockett Hall. This was it was all tag matches. There's only a couple of significant ones here. Number one was Zack Sabre Jr. in his first match as a member of Suzuki-Gun, beating the current never openweight champion, Hirooki Goto, with a European clutch, possibly seeding Goto's next never opponent?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely think that's where they're leaning there, if they're doing that.
Oh, and we forgot to mention how bizarre, wacky, cool, whatever it was, to see the Evolve and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla titles on New Japan World.
PWG and Evolve titles on, it was just so, I thought it was so cool that he brought the Evolve title with him. Like, that was really cool of him to do. Like, yeah, that's like pretty nice, like little press for Gabe, you know? That's,
yeah, and not the first time this year that PWG titles have made it onto NJPW World, because you remember the Young Bucks had the tag titles with them.
One of the few times you'll actually see a PWG title like air live and not like 3 months later on VOD on DVD.
So with that in mind, so possibly we could be seeing Zack Sabre Jr. challenging Hirooki Goto for the NEVER title. Also, Kushida in a tag match pinned Hiromu. Now we forgot to mention too, he challenged Hiromu after Hiromu beat Taguchi, but now this kind of solidifies the challenge by getting a direct pin on him. So,
what do you think, Jeff? You think they're going to that match too quick, or you think it's about the right time?
I think maybe a little. I mean, obviously they're gonna hold on to it for Sakura Genesis, because this is New Japan.
I thought it was a little soon. I was like, I don't know. Like that seemed a little soon to have like Kushida. Most likely, I would think, lose again to him, but maybe not, though.
I'm of the opinion that if they were to do it, I think they should have pushed it to Dominion, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you on that. I think this is a little bit soon for this defense. I'm not going to complain too much, because the match will be fantastic, I'm sure. So.
It will. And we could be surprised. I mean, they could decide to give Hiromu like a very... They could decide to give Hiromu the long rub here. So who knows? We'll see. So that will be coming up. So
I'd like it. I'd dig it. You know, I kind of want like Hiromu to like face like someone like kind of like different though, like maybe in between then. Like somebody like really like out of the box, like.
Well, you know what? You know, a Hiromu Ospreay match is going to be coming up.
That's right. Yeah,
that'll be coming, and you know, don't forget we do have Best of Super Juniors coming up too.
Oh, yeah, yes. Oh, yeah, I keep completely forgetting about that again.
So,
and thankfully, no Super Shake-Up.
Oh, brother. Yeah, let's not repeat. Yeah, after that last one, maybe let's sit on that for a good while. Yeah.
Lord. Or not have New Japan host it.
right. Yeah, that was just, that was redonkulous. And as we say about once a show, so maybe let's move on. So, yeah. We come now to this weekend, and of course, you know, as usually happens, the second we hit the send button to upload the previous episode, they immediately announce the New Japan Cup, because this is our blessing, this is our curse.
Yeah.
So we've had all of the first round matches now as we speak, so we're going to go through those. The first four happened on Saturday the 11th from Aichi Prefectural Gymnasium. That show's on New Japan World. Yuji Nagata, who was stepping in for Tomoki Honma, he was originally announced to be in this, and then we all know what happened, defeated Tonga Loa. Now, Lawrence, I know you've been waiting for this. We're just going to go ahead and say this might just be the worst singles match we've seen in New Japan, and probably will this year. And I specify in New Japan because I think there has been a worse match featuring a New Japan talent in 2017. We're going to get to that later.
Oh, Lordy. I didn't even get to watch that match, unfortunately. But I could just know that was awful. But this was not good. I'm just not going to mince words. This was very, very bad. It really wasn't Nagata's fault at all. And
I held Nagata completely blameless in this, because you know he was thrown in here at the minute, but he was thrown in here. Whoever thought Tonga Loa as a singles guy? That was a bad opinion. I'm sorry. Ooh, because
Yikes! Yeah.
The smack talk he gave was just not good. I mean, it wasn't threatening, and even saying, "Oh, my first singles match, you're gonna act like this? What?" You know, feel free to make this your last singles match.
He came off like the biggest geek in the world when he's supposed to be this like bigger dude that like is supposed to, you know, he just came off like the biggest dork ever. It's like he's just like, give up, Nagata, give up, and it's like, okay, really, like, is that the best you got, man? Like,
yeah, I think,
come on,
yeah,
dude.
Maybe he, I think he's a little rusty where this is concerned, but yeah, that was just not working at all, and. Yeah, he cannot carry his part of a match, of a singles match.
His work over period on Nagata was one of the most heatless segments of wrestling I've seen in the recent time period. It was like, I don't think one fan in that audience gave a flying fuck about what was happening for like a good 5 minutes of that match. It was like, holy cow. This match didn't even need to be 11 minutes long.
No, it really didn't.
It was just, oh, God, it was unbearable.
And then you realize it was the second...
Lowe just has no idea.
And then you realize it was the second longest match of the evening, too.
That's the funny part. That's the really hilarious part of it. And it's like, wow. Okay. yeah, it was awful. I mean, it just... Tangaloa needs to stay in tag teams and be hidden in tag teams for like the rest of his career. I think. I don't know. Did they just not see his NXT stuff as Camacho? It wasn't very good.
that was
very good back in 2013 and 14. I don't know what they were expecting.
Yeah, I mean, it's a sad. I mean, because we've all been admitting that. Yeah, hey, maybe Gorillas of Destiny really are a pretty decent tag team when you get down to it. But yeah, you take them out of Tongaloa out into singles, and it just did not work at all. I mean, like, give him, you know, at least, you know, if you had him like doing, you know, like, you know, Young Lion matches or something, you know, just,
yeah,
you know, give him something, you know, some sort of warm-up, I guess, you know?
Right. It's clear the guy has just not worked any sort of singles in a long period of time, and it's like, you throw him in there and, you know, like, a New Japan Cup match? Like, oh, man, that's just a recipe for disaster, and they saw that.
Well, they cooked it. they cooked that recipe, so.
And also, like, can we talk about, like, Nagata's fire cupping sessions.
Goodness. Yeah. His back looks like, there, you know, he looks like he could have been, if you ever watched the old, sci-fi show Babylon 5, there was a race.
It looked like he was had like alien life forms on his back.
Yeah. There was a race called the Narn that were like kind of, I wouldn't say they were reptilian, but they're kind of had reptile like skin, and they had like, and they were like tiger spot, you know, they were like leopard spotted. And that's just what it reminded me of. You look like a Narn from Babylon 5, you know?
Yeah, between Loa's, like, awful, like work and just, like, I couldn't stop looking at Nagata's back. I could, this match just was never going to click for me, ever.
Hey, remember on the same show, I think last year, it might have been during G1, where you had both Nagata and Tenzan had those.
Oh, yeah.
The cupping marks. I mean, good God almighty.
Anti-aging hero, brother.
I hope it does what they say, what it's supposed to do, because, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's pretty hideous. Like, I can't lie. Like, it is pretty bad.
Oh, boy. The next match was, you know, shock of shocks, the shortest match of the evening, in which our Lord Toriano defeated Tama Tonga, you know, the actual worker of the group. Now, see... What if you switched Tongaloa and Tama Tonga?
Right, yeah, like, Why couldn't you just put Loa in, like, this match? Right, exactly. I 100% agree with you. Like, that would have made way more sense. Like, you know Tonga probably could have had, like, at least, like a 2.5-star match with, like, Nagata or something, you know?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, Tonga can work singles. I mean, I have no real problem with him working singles.
No.
And he doesn't smack talk. He just has the weird, you know, he just has the mannerisms. He doesn't do the smack talk.
Put Yano, put Yano with the freaking guy that hasn't worked a singles match in like three years.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But, you know, either way, same result. They both go out, so.
I did think it was funny when Tonga just like tossed his DVD into the audience.
That was great, yeah.
He tried opening it and he couldn't open it, so he just like tossed it into the crowd.
Threw it into the crowd. Oh yeah, he got some good heel heat for that too, for messing with the DVD. That was, you know, you gotta admire that, you know.
And he made one person really happy though.
Oh, that's true. The next match was a bit of a surprise to me. Bad Luck Fale defeating friend of the show Michael Elgin.
Yeah, see, like, here's my thing, it actually doesn't surprise me, and nothing really surprises me in the New Japan Cup anymore, and I kind of learned to live with this now, is that's just what they do. They've kind of made it now so that it's unpredictable, but it's not really unpredictable, because they do unpredictable things, quote-unquote unpredictable things every year. So you kind of know there's going to be, like, two upsets every year.
At least two, because,
and
I mean...
Also, Fale is, like, booked, like, the monster god during New Japan Cup time for whatever reason. I still don't understand it, but they always try to make Fale a thing during this period. I don't know if you've kind of noticed it, but it's...
And kind of, sort of, in G1 Climax, too. Kind of, sort of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They always... Like, I remember when Fale two years ago when Fale beat Okada. Yeah, it was 2 years ago when Fale... I beat Okada in the first round.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, like, they make Fale as, like, he's the big bad dude during this time. Like, they just have a certain booking strategy for some guys. So I wasn't actually surprised at all that he beat Elgin.
But Elgin was kind of one of the favorites going in, because, you know, we didn't say that Elgin. Yeah, because if you look at the storylining, I mean, there's, like, you know, several storylines for each of the singles belts that you can, you know, challenge for. So there was at least two for each belt. So there goes Elgin for the Intercontinental belt, I guess. So Fale moves on. The final match of yesterday, of the 11th, this one was a bit of a surprise, not because of the result per se, but because of something that happened in the match. Evil defeated Hiroshi Tanahashi. That's not really the surprise, because they're clearly trying to phase Tanahashi out of singles contention belts.
I definitely are, man. He is definitely, like, being, like, put down for sure. Like, put down the card. It seems like very steadily.
And again, it's fine. I think Tanahashi himself even said, you know, something to the effect of, you know, I haven't really been a contender this year. Yeah, you know, I think
he
did
it to himself with that awful new theme song. So I'd love. He deserves all the trouble he gets.
Once you fuck with the high energy mojo, yeah, you've just set yourself up. But this was a great match, though, by the way. But the ending sequence was the surprise, because Evil stealing a trick from his unit mate Bushi.
Yeah, this was surprising. I was like, oh, I'm like, okay, like that's a new bag of one out of his bag of tricks.
Yeah, that was. I don't hate that at all. I mean, I don't care for fuck finishes that often, but that was that was, like, you know, it came out of nowhere. You know,
match itself was pretty good. I wasn't crazy about it. I thought it was good, but I don't think it was anything really. Special. It was obviously, out of all everything on the night, it was easily the best. I mean, that wasn't a high bar to clear, but
yeah,
it was. Yeah, it was good. It was. It had its moments. I enjoyed But yeah, this show wasn't too great. I'm gonna put it lightly. It was not the best show.
It wasn't the best. Although, hey, you know what? We did get to see some glimpses of the Taka versus Hirai Kawato match that we were denied at the New Beginning in we were kind of denied that.
Yeah, I really like that kid, man. Kawato is he's got some special talent.
He's really stepped it up. He's really stepped it up. I'm glad I was kind of wrong on him.
Young too, man. Like he's got a lot of years too. So he's gonna be a special one, I think. Definitely keeping our eye.
Yeah.
Keep our eye on him the next few years or so.
So ever since Teruaki Kanemitsu got injured, Kawato really stepped it up. But now, I mean, there's only like two active young lions right now. It's Kawato and Oka, because Hinari, you know, had his Achilles injury, and we still haven't had Kitamiya debut yet. Although that could be coming up, stay tuned to find out why. So moving on to today, and by today I mean March the 12th. Today's show, the tag matches again, nothing really special here.
Yeah, I honestly just started skipping some of them. Yeah.
I mean, Tongaloa pinned Kawato in a six-man. Evil over Taguchi, Toriano over El Desperado in a 10-man. So let's move to the New Japan Cup first round matches here. Juice Robinson beating Yujiro Takahashi. I nearly skipped this match because I try to live a Yujiro Takahashi free lifestyle.
To be honest, Jeff, I actually did skip this match.
Okay, fair enough.
I wouldn't have gotten on your case if you did. So,
honestly, though, you know, Juice still looking pretty good. I'm not hating this little Juice push.
No, absolutely not. I'm glad. I mean, anything to come at the expense of Yujiro, I mean, I'm okay with it.
I don't give a, and frankly, I don't give a fuck about the bunny mask dominatrix woman that was with him. You know, you know what? Fuck that noise, okay? Pimp gimmicks are not cool, okay? Just let's just end this. They're not.
No one is ever as cool as Mao was ever, anyway. So,
I guess Mao is like all about Seiya Sonata now too. So, I mean, hey,
listen, she is making the right choice there. I 100% support that. Listen, Seiya Sonata is a wonderful man.
And speaking of whom.
Oh yeah,
he defeated Yoshihashi in their first round match with Skull End.
Great match. I really liked it.
I enjoyed that match. I really did.
They have very, very good chemistry together.
Yeah, Yoshihashi and Sonata has been low key a good feud. You know.
Yeah, that's like it hasn't been talked about a lot, but man, these two really, really just work well with each other. They play off each other very, very well. And Sonata looked really good. And in more ways than one.
We all know about how you and Chris thirsting over Sonata.
Oh, daddy is fine. He looked great. He was great. I love Sonata, and Yoshihashi was good too.
He was very good. Yeah, I liked
Yoshihashi, man. You know, I know he got crap for a long time, but yeah, I think he's really coming into his own as a performer. The last couple of years or so.
And yeah, he has. He really has.
I just really enjoyed this. It was nice. Wasn't like long. It was just a good length, and it was just they told the story they needed to tell, and I just liked what they did. A lot of good counter like wrestling in this. I like just like the counters that they had for each other and everything.
Yeah, and Sonata like you know having to do like Skull End twice to get him down.
Yeah, he really had to like. Squeeze the life out of him. So I like the way they booked that. Yoshihashi looked good losing.
Katsuyori Shibata satisfied a lot of our thirst for this match, defeating Minoru Suzuki with a PK at nearly the 20-minute mark. Yeah, that's another guy I kind of had high on the favorites list to win this tournament going out in the first round.
Did you really? I thought Shibata was winning all the way.
Well, Shibata's one of the favorites too, but you know, I thought I was kind of on the opinion that whoever won this match wins the tournament, honestly.
Might not be too far off.
Once again, just pointing out, everybody hates Taiichi. Everybody.
just to clarify, just letting you know.
Yeah, everybody hates Taiichi. His presence in that match was completely unnecessary.
They almost lost me there with that. I was like, oh boy, no, come on.
Taiichi is, you know, at the very beginning of the match, he's like eyeing Shibata up and down, like getting in his face like a man who knows the look of a man who got caught cheating. But,
oh no! Jeff! Oh god! Oh Christ, that was good. I can't even
look at it. I'm like, how did you survive without getting suspended for 3 months?
Oops.
Oops. Yeah. So anyway, besides that, this actually, besides Taiichi's bullshit, this match was everything I thought it would be.
Yeah, honestly. It was good. They really hit each other hard. And they were stiff with each other. The Suzuki's, you know, like, emotional, you know, expressions are always funny to me, in a good way.
Yeah,
like,
I think, you know, once we had the, you know, the spot where they're both doing the rope break spot, and then, you know, Suzuki transitions it, and then breaks that, and then Shibata just responds with, boop, right in the face, you know, kick right in the face. It's like, okay, it's on.
When they were, like, forearming each other in the corner, too, that was a really fun, like, fun little, like, spot there, because they just, like, when the other one didn't want to, like stop for him and the other one, and they would just switch, and then just Shibata just got the corner dropkick and just
pounds the bejesus out of him, and
not quite the pancreas special I was envisioning, but I still enjoyed it.
that was good fun, as was the main event, which had another shock upset as far as I'm concerned. Tomohiro Ishii beating another tournament favorite, Kenny Omega, going out. So that's three of the tournament favorites out already. Elgin, Suzuki, and Omega.
So this was interesting. I'm a little bit shocked, I will admit, but not too shocked, because like I said, you know, they like to throw some real weird stuff around this time of year, the New Japan Cup, and obviously that they just did not want to tell this Omega story yet, and I actually think that's a good thing. I think that's actually kind of good they're holding off on Kenny Omega. I don't see a problem with it. I thought the match was quite good. It was a little slow starting, and it wasn't even bad, it was good, but I'm like, okay, you know, this hasn't really kicked into to gear yet, but when it really kicked into gear was when Ishii, the little son of a bitch, steals Kreutz Wrath from Kenny Omega and absolutely stuns the crowd when doing so. And I stunned me. I was like, wait, did he just do Kreutz Wrath on Kenny? Like, right before that, he tried to hit the one-winged angel on him, too.
Yeah.
What? I'm like, oh my god, like, Ishii just went there. He's trying to get into his head, and that was, like, kind of the story they were telling there, that Ishii was, like, kind of playing mind games with Omega a little bit, and then they started spitting at each other, and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Oh, gee, yeah.
Oh, my,
I
oh, yeah.
I wish people quit spitting in wrestling, really. Seriously, stop it.
I don't love it either, but in this situation, it did work. It wasn't, like, Sammy Callahan levels of, of, like, slobbering all over the ring, which I've seen in person actually happen in front of my eyes, and it is disgusting. So.
Oh my god!
it was gross. When he was saying he faced Cody at NEW, I was like literally like two rows like back in the ring too, and it was like, I'm like, oh, I saw like the gross like spit pile. I'm like, can you not?
Jesus.
dude, it's so gross. I like Callahan, but I wish he did not do that. Like, and then, like, drool on his hand and stuff, too. Yeah, it's disgusting. But anyway, yeah, and I just like the way when they did that, I'm like, okay, this is, they've now kicked into the next gear. And boy, they just, they went at it after that. I mean, Kenny was just, like, targeting Ishii, you know, and his shoulder was, like, messed up, like, again in this match. Like, what else is new? Ishii's having shoulder problems, but.
You're right.
Like, at one point, like, I think he legit, like, had, like, a little nerve damage in his shoulder. Because he was, like, holding his arm for, like, a good amount of time. Like, and I've been there. Because I have a kind of messed up left shoulder. And I know how it feels when you lay on it wrong. Or you sit on, or you just put on, you go on your side a little bit. And you hit that one spot right.
Oh,
you
geez.
Just,
yeah.
Your arm feels like. Like it's so painful. Like, you have no idea. It could be so painful, and just like, it just feels so weird, and like, it's like your arm doesn't feel like it's there, and it's like, I can kind of feel where he was coming from down there, because I deal with that a lot, because with my shoulder is kind of screwy, so
right.
It like, I'm like, ooh, I know what he's feeling there. I'm like, oh god, that's not good, and yeah, it was just it got really violent, like. Later on in that match, just like Kenny, just one point, just like he gave him a knee to the chin. I'm like, oh my god, how did he not like KO him with that?
Yeah, cold cock him, knock him out. Yeah.
Oh, oof, it was brutal, and just I like that Ishii just you know what my favorite part was? Ishii countering the one winged angel with the stunner. I was like, oh my
god, yes.
That was such a creative counter to that. I've never seen that before. Anybody do that to Kenny? I was like, wow, that was really, really neat. I just enjoy the way that they kind of when they kicked it into that second gear in this. This was a good match.
This was another match that kind of gave credence to all the hipsters that think that Tomohiro Ishii is the best worker in the company. More ammunition because.
Hey, listen. Ishii is a freaking beast, man.
I would say he's the best worker in the company, but yeah, when he turns it on, it's quality. It really is. Yeah,
you could probably say he's the hardest worker in the company.
I could go for that.
That guy just lays it on the line every damn match he's in. That guy just never takes a day off. It's just. I just love the guy. He's a blue collar dude, and I appreciate his style, and I just like what he does. And him and Kenny were perfect, you know, matchup here, and it was great. And just the brain buster was just off. Looked so good on the finish. It was so good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So. Here we are. Now we're into the quarterfinal rounds. So three of the favorites are out now. Well, let's go through the quarterfinals. The quarterfinal matches. This will be on the spread across the next four shows. Evil against Yuji Nagata. Bad Luck Fale against Toriano. Katsuyori Shibata against Juice Robinson. That might be the best match of the two.
Oh, okay.
And also Tomohiro Ishii against Sonata. Actually, that match will be pretty good too. So.
Oh man, Ishii and Sonata, Shibata and Juice, and what was the first one again?
Evil against Yuji Nagata, and then Bad Luck Fale against Toriano.
Oh god, that's gonna be funny. I will. I am looking forward to this Fale just like throwing Yano into like the third row, and then like. Yano, like, maybe, like hitting him with a low blow or something, and then God knows what happens from there.
Yes.
that will be funny. I that will be a fun little, like, stupid Yano match.
Yeah.
If Evil Nagata, I don't know. I don't know. I wonder how those two will match up. Like, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think that could be okay. I'm not expecting a lot from that one, though.
Yeah.
But yeah, those next two though, Shibata and Juice and Sonata and Ishii. Oh man,
yeah, those are gonna be hot. So I guess who wins the tournament at this point?
I'm really glad that Sonata's getting, like, you know, a little more shine now, you know, because, like, that guy has just been the forgotten piece, and that's a shame because the dude is great, and it's just really good to see him in this spot, right, all of a sudden. So it'd be something if he beats Ishii. That would be something.
That would be something. I wouldn't hate that result at all.
That would legit surprise me. That would be really interesting.
So who wins the tournament?
So what's the question?
Who wins the tournament?
I gotta go with Shibata. I mean, maybe not, but I gotta go. I think this might be the year for him. It seems like with the guys left, I mean, it could be Shibata.
I think with the guys left, that makes the most logical sense too. And I think Shibata against Okada at Sakura Genesis would sell out that building. Honestly, I think that would be a great headline.
I think that's got to be the match. It just seems like it. Unless they feel like doing like Ishii or something. I mean, besides that though, I mean, you know, Juice isn't gonna win, but most likely not Evil.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with, you know, Nagata too. That was his throw-in. You know, he's definitely not winning. But
yeah,
I don't know. Like, I think I gotta go with Shibata. That's I mean, from what I could see, it seems like that. But who knows? Maybe they'll really throw a wrench in things and do something different with maybe like a Sonata or something. That would be really off the beaten path, but that would be really interesting.
I think it was safe to say that last year, you know, Naito winning was kind of off the beaten path somewhat.
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of building to it, but I think everybody assumed that he was going to be like, you know, going after, you know, a lesser title, and then, you know, he wins the New Japan Cup and then won the IWGP title because he was, you know, becoming the most over guy in the company. So, you know, it's, yeah, it's going to be interesting, and I would tend to agree. Of the field that's left, I think Shibata will be the guy who does this, but as we've determined, I'm also completely horrible in picking who wins tournaments and what, you know, how the layout of the New Japan year is going to go, so...
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, maybe I'm thinking, you know, they do something really funky, and they throw Sonata in there, but I don't know. That could just be a really, like, real stretch I'm making there, though. So I don't know.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, it's not maybe a dark horse pick on that one.
Yeah, he's my dark horse pick. Yeah,
the field that's left, because I think it's safe to say, I think a lot of you know, between the five of us that normally do this show, I think we would have gone with either Omega or Michael Elgin to have won it all.
Yeah, but it certainly makes sense that, you know, Shibata gets his shot, you know? Like, it definitely works.
I think it's time. I mean, they got the never belt off of him, you know, onto Goto, and then, you know, they just took the RP, you know, the Rev Pro title off of him.
Yep.
So, I think it's time.
Yeah. I think that's kind of what they're signifying doing that, and it's like, makes you wonder that, and it may just be his year finally.
Yeah, so we're interesting times ahead here.
Do you think he beats Okada if he wins the New Japan Cup?
Boy, I don't know. I don't know. I kind of like to see him beat Okada, but at the same time, I don't know if he does, because they're it looks like they're really trying, really, really trying now to make Okada the guy, you know, of the future, which, you know, is what they should be doing. I wish more companies would realize this when they have a talent, you know, the caliber of Kazuchika Okada. And it looks
Jun Akiyama gets it.
Jun Akiyama gets it. And I guess, you know, so does the booking guy, whoever's booking Noah now. Because, I mean, let's face it, I don't know how old Nakajima is, but right now, all three major, you know, the title holders of all three companies, quote-unquote major companies, we can debate All Japan and Noah how major they are at this point, but of the classically three major companies in Japan, all three of their champions are under 30, I think. Maybe Nakajima is just slightly older than 30.
I want to say he is 29.
Okay, so... same age as Okada, then.
Do not quote me on that. I'm not 100% sure if he is... Yep, I am right. 29 years.
Okay, so yeah.
You actually literally just turned 29 yesterday.
Oh, wow, okay.
Ironically,
and he celebrates his birthday by beating Go Shiozaki. So, hey, how about that?
Wow. I was honestly under the impression they were going to shot the belt off him.
Really?
Months ago.
Really?
I thought that's where they were going. I'm actually really glad they didn't.
and right now, it's looking like Kento Miyahara is, at least as of right now, on track to tie, if not surpass, Toshiaki Kawada's record for Triple Crown defenses that was set during the Keiji Muto era of All Japan. So,
yeah, brother, I have to tell you, that bodyguard match was a hoot.
I still haven't seen it yet, so...
My bodyguard worked his ass off in that one, man. That guy... I wish Tangaloa could work, like, you know, give that much effort with all the, you know, the body and the, you know, athletic ability he has. It'd give half the effort that bodyguard in this match.
Yeah.
You know, it's like with bodyguards, a 47-year-old, like, you know, beefed up dude, you know? And so it's like, it's pretty incredible to see what he's able
pretty,
to.
I mean, he and Zeus are pretty over as the big guns in All Japan. So, yeah, I mean,
They were behind him in that match, boy. I tell you what, my bodyguard was over in that match against Miyahara. That was great.
Anyway, at this time, Chris DeMasino, our co-host and producer, had some things he wanted to talk about regarding, I'm guessing, you know, either the anniversary show, New Japan Cup, or both. So at this time, we're going to let him opine on this in a pre-recorded segment. And, so stay tuned. Here's Chris. Take it away.
Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Lawrence. This is Chris Damasceno here, regular co-host for Strong Style Story. Unfortunately, during the time that this recording happened, I couldn't be there due to personal reasons, but I am here on this nice little pre-recorded segment just so I can talk about how my brackets for the New Japan Cup basically got busted from night one and going forward. Needless to say, I think good old Gato just decided to throw a left curve, just all sorts of curves. We got swerved, is basically what it ended up being. Even with the New Japan Cup's unpredictability at times, this, by far, just off the top of my head, has to be one of the more unpredictable first rounds that we've seen. I mean, Evo, I've had a feeling that he might have been going over Tana, but I still kind of was hoping for maybe a Tana-Omega finals, and of course that got derailed immediately within the first two nights. Was not expecting Elgin to go as early as he did, by any means whatsoever. Omega losing was the biggest surprise, but yet at the same time, it makes sense from a booking standpoint with the way they did that match, so it's not at all surprising, and yet it still is to me. I mean, it doesn't help me because I counted on the boy going all the way through and winning this entire thing, so, you know, thanks for that, Ghetto. Appreciate it. Like, good work, buddy. Shibata Suzuki was every bit of a murdering fantastic spree altogether. Great match. Enjoyed it very much. Ishii, Omega, although it's between those two matches for me as to my favorites in the tournament so far. But hey, on the bright side, my boy Sonata at least is making it to the next round. So, I mean, I'm by the time that this recording goes up, of course. So, pretty stoked about that. I'm sure Lawrence is too. I mean, we both have basically the most massive man crush on him. So, you know, that's great, amazing, regardless. That's just the first round of the New Japan Cup portion of things. Granted, when I'm recording this, one of the matches for the second round has already gone through, but I'm not going to delve into the future that much yet, just so that way I'm not confusing our viewers here. But there's that. The anniversary shows were fairly enjoyable as well. I was a pretty big fan of the Okada Tiger Mask W match. Just thought that they had a really good pace altogether, start to finish. The action was pretty intense all around. I felt they did a really good job with it. So would love to see those two tango again at some point or another before the year is wrapped up. Along with that, I'm just trying to think really of anything else major to cover. Well, I'm sure Lawrence and Jeff will talk about this later on in the show, but Yoshitatsu is still terrible. The match against Volador in Arena Mexico was legitimately one of the worst wrestling matches I've seen in my time. This felt like WCW in 2000 levels of bad. It's cringeworthy, and I would even recommend just watching it to cringeworthy accordingly with me and share the same suffering that I have suffered, but at the same time, don't. Do yourselves a favor, just spare yourselves before it's too late. Well, anyway, these are just basic quick thoughts before I have to go do another thing over here. I'm hopefully we'll be there next show around with the boys as per usual, and I will see you all then. Thanks. Let's get back over to Jeff and Lawrence.
Alrighty, thanks for that, Chris. Sorry you couldn't be here live with us today, because we do like the back and forth banter that that Chris and JB and Steve provide when they're able to be here. But we also know that life tends to get in the way sometimes too. So anyway, Lawrence, I think I think the time has come. I think the time has come. I think we need to start thinking about marketing ourselves on this show, because I see podcasts right out the gate having t-shirts for themselves, and we've been doing this for nearly a year and a half now, and we've yet to try to capitalize on this.
Oh boy.
So I don't know, just saying, I bandied some ideas about to the gang, and I don't really want to get into all of it without the guys, you know, everybody else being here. But yes, we are considering doing an actual t-shirt for the Strong Style Story podcast. And I think the way we're going to go is we just want to blatantly parody a current New Japan t-shirt, or even, you know, maybe even a classic New Japan t-shirt. Who knows?
We're literally pro wrestling teeing the pro wrestling tees.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we literally just want to parody this, you know, just, you know, like, you know, for example, I don't know, I'm not going to say that this is going to be the one, but like taking, you know, like the Okada Tekken King shirt and like photoshopping Steve's face over it, just saying anger of Steve because, you know, he's angry because we keep burying him or something, you know, just, you know, just as an example.
Steve's not even angry. He's so full of it.
He's not angry. He's just tired and sleepless.
Steve can't be angry.
Yeah, Steve, don't be angry. Just don't be angry. Even though, but you see, that would work for the joke too, because, you know, for whatever. I don't know if we're gonna go that route. But basically, yeah, we're just gonna be looking to parody a current New Japan t-shirt, and you know, just shamelessly, you know, make some money off of this, because maybe this will help you know, us get to LA or something. Because, oh hey, the website for the the website's up now, even though it's just a graphic right now.
Yeah, hey, you want to look at some pictures?
Well, a picture, that's all it is a
picture. Oh, one picture.
It's,
oh, okay,
a picture. Yeah, it's just, you know, but it's up, so there this thing is happening, folks. The G1 special in Long Beach is going to be happening. And I said, I've already got the time off of work. I, you know, obviously the tickets haven't gone on sale yet. I'm just trying to still figure out this whole airfare, because of course I live in, you know, Indianapolis, and trying to get to LA seems like a bridge too far.
How do you think I feel?
Yeah, but at least I'm sure flights out of New York are cheaper than, you know, flights out of, you know, I don't know why, I just had this in my head that flights out of like LaGuardia would be better to get to LA than, you know, Indianapolis, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, we're still trying to figure out all the logistics, but we are planning to be at the shows. That would be great. I think we'll do like special, you know, special edition podcasts. Like we'll just, you know, upload them immediately. You know, try to upload them immediately without, you know, adding theme songs or anything like that. We'll just, you know, upload our G1 special episodes. But that's something that, you know, for down the road. So, really, I don't have anything else to talk about other than we mentioned that even though Yuji Nagata versus Tongaloa might be the worst singles match that happens in the New Japan ring, it may not be the worst singles match featuring New Japan talent because, dear God, I watched on March the 3rd, I watched live the Volador Jr. versus Yoshitatsu match from Arena Mexico. This was Yoshitatsu's farewell to Arena Mexico, for the, at least for the time being. Yeah, his grand excursion only lasted 3 weeks. I mean, thanks, guys.
Incredible.
That was like a minor vacation. That wasn't an excursion. My that was a God. Minor vacation.
Oh, man.
You know, and this match was one of the worst matches I've ever seen.
So was it like a combined effort of just like bad, or was it just all Yoshitatsu? Because like I can see Volador kind of stinking up the joint here with him. Because
I think Volador was trying because he, like at the very end he like even did one of his signature flips to the crowd as if to say, "Hey, sorry, I know this match blew."
Yeah, but the thing with Volador sometimes he tries too hard, and that kind of can lead to some pretty choppy matches with him sometimes. And I like Volador, but I'm just being realistic with him.
Yeah, but just to give you a summation of how this was doomed from the start. So like the whole time Yoshitatsu was in Mexico, he was still doing the Bullet Club Hunter shtick, with the T-shirt and the, but he was also like half painting his face. And in this match, he was like in a it wasn't even the Joker; it was Sting as the Joker from that period of time in TNA.
Oh my God!
and then they played Volador, not Volador's. They played Yoshitatsu's entrance video from New Japan, where it has the Hunter Club, and the announcers actually said he was from Bullet Club. Like, they didn't fucking get the whole shtick.
Oh my God, that's CMLL for you. that doesn't surprise me.
So yeah, and it was really Yoshitatsu like literally putzing about, and I forget how the first fall came about. The second fall, Volador rolled up Yoshitatsu as Yoshitatsu said, "Hold on a second." He tries to take his Hunter Club shirt off, and then he just rolls him up. Oh my god!
Oh no!
So then during the Tercera Caída, so then Volador has just did I think a Spanish fly on Yoshitatsu. So Tirantes here comes Tirantes, who does like a very slow count to begin with, like
very slow.
One,
that's generous.
Yeah, one, two, and then he leaps halfway across the ring. For no reason, with nobody touching him, he just suddenly leaps halfway across the ring, and La Mascara, the increasingly inaccurately named La Mascara, was seconding Yoshitatsu because for some reason they put him with the Pieroth version of Los Ingobernables as part of to help build up this great Diamante Azul versus Pieroth mask match that's gonna be the main event. This coming Friday at Omanai Dos Leyendas, which, dear God Almighty,
Christ,
and yeah, so the Tirantes like leaps halfway across the ring, like into the other corner from where he's at. I think they tried to explain it away as like he had a cramp or something. He's like, are you fucking kidding?
That's
me,
fucking Tirantes for you, the king of fucking dramatics in the fucking ring. It's
holy shit.
guy can't help himself. He's got to make it about himself whenever he can. It's like,
folks, don't see the, even if you were like one of those guys that, you know, like, so I ironically say that, yeah, I'm like totally into bad wrestling. Do not. You will hate life after watching this match. And I'm ashamed that I actually watched this live.
I honestly believe Tarantes made this match 7 times worse, because, like, he can do that at times. Like him and his son, both of them, it's just, good lord. Like,
and doesn't his son work AAA?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. They're both awful.
Oh,
it's like,
my...
really, heel refs in 2017, man, can we stop? Like, can we just not do that?
Yeah.
Like, I thought Dangerous Danny Davis was, like, the line we drew there. Like, I really thought, Jeff, that was, like, you know, and then maybe, like, Nick Patrick, like, I think maybe that was, like, even overkill, but now, like, come on, can we stop this?
Please, God. Oh, my goodness. Oh.
Dangerous Danny Davis. Mentioned on a New Japan podcast.
but here we go. Here we are, folks. So anyway, yeah, that Volador versus Yoshitatsu from March the 3rd at Arena Mexico. It was a pile of shit. Do not watch that match under any circumstances. If you value, this is like, you know, Lovecraft levels of losing your sanity watching this. It's like, like, yeah, I mean, like, Nyarlathotep and Yog-Sothoth would have been more sane wrestlers for this match than this.
Yeah, let's talk about something you actually sent to our group chat very recently, and this is actually pretty big deal, because this has a lot of implications.
Oh, are we talking the spoiler I sent you from the Ring of Honor TV tapings from last night?
Yeah, this is a very big deal.
All right, I'm cribbing this. This is from, I'm reading this verbatim from 411 Wrestling's report. So shout out to 411 Wrestling if they want to sue me.
Thanks, Larry.
Yeah, if they want to sue me for reading their article out loud, they're welcome to try. anyway, this is the main event of the entire TV taping that happened last night. It was Adam Cole and the Young Bucks against new champion Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, and Dalton Castle. Here's the write-up. Castle pins Adam Cole with Bangarang after an errant double super kick from the Young Bucks. Post-match, Adam Cole calls the Young Bucks into the ring and fires them from Bullet Club. Young Bucks respond that it was their idea to bring Cole into Bullet Club in the first place, and Adam Cole isn't the leader of Bullet Club. Kenny Omega is. Young Bucks leave, and Cole says he's not afraid of Kenny Omega. End of taping.
Oh, boy. Like we were kind of insinuating was going to happen, and here it is.
Yeah, I think there's definitely some implications there, especially since they were feeding that at the two Honor Rising shows too, with both Cole and Cody Rhodes getting into it with Kenny a little bit.
Yep. This is clearly the setup for, you know, the kind of the split off of the, you know, the Elite and, you know, and Bullet Club becoming two very separate entities.
Yes.
Now.
So it would seem.
It's about goddamn time.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, we need some units broken up. We need some units. We need some new units formed. I think. I mean, I was noting that it seems like in this, if they're gonna go to war between Suzuki and Shibata, it seems to be like Shibata already kind of has his own unit in that, you know, he was very subtly building it up throughout all of last year with the dads and then Red Dragon. But of course, you know, Kyle O'Reilly's now gone. So,
yep.
but he was very subtly building up an army. So we shall see. So, that's all I have for this episode of the Strong Style Story. Lawrence, do you have anything else you want to bring up on this before we do the plugs?
Oh, no, I don't think so. It pretty much covered what was like really a big deal for New Japan this past week. So
yeah, I think we kind of did. So anyway, the New Japan Cup final will be on the 20th. That's a week from this Monday, if we get the show out in time. So we'll just say Monday, March the 20th, and then on March the 25th begins the Road to Sakura Genesis cycle of shows leading into, as it happens, Sakura Genesis on April the 9th at Tokyo Ryogoku Kokugikan, good old Sumo Hall. So I think we're going to set the next taping for the 26th, the weekend of the 26th, which means we're going to miss a few. We're going to be in the middle of this Road to Sakura Genesis cycle, but we can make up for that. You know, hopefully we'll get a full card announced before then. That'd be nice. But anyway, yeah. So Lawrence, you go ahead. Plug away, my friend.
And my Twitter is lob_3. I am on private now. I will say that, but feel free to send me a follower request. I'll most likely accept it. I mean, I'm pretty much going to accept it. It's just I kind of have some professional things I just want to keep, you know, separate from my personal life and stuff. So that's the reason for that. So, but yeah, still feel free to follow me, and I will try to get to your follower request when I can, and we'll talk.
I'm gonna shout out to, you know, Chris and Steve, obviously, and once again, JB is curating a wrestling related art show called Time is a Squared Circle at the Flair Chicago Gallery, FLAIR, that spelling of Flair. I'm not exactly sure how long it runs to. I think it runs until about mid-April. So if you're in the Chicago area, check that out. Once again, I am at StrongStyleStory without the E in style on Twitter. The regular blog is at StrongStyleStory.tumblr.com, and you are listening to this through either StrongStyleStory.podomatic.com or on iTunes, Strong Style Story Podcast. Please leave us star ratings and reviews. That would be really cool. We're talking t-shirts eventually, as we already noted, so stay tuned for that. Excuse me, sorry. And then also stay tuned for an episode of Strong Style History, which should also hopefully be out this week. Lawrence and I are going to record that. It will be the complete history of Tiger Mask in 60 minutes or less. Should be a hoot. So stand by for that. That'll be coming to you courtesy of the Pro Wrestling Only Boards podcast feed and placetobenation.com. So that's all I got this week. Like I said, we'll probably record again on the 26th of March in the middle of the Sakura Genesis cycle. On behalf of Lawrence O'Brien, I am Jeffrey Wessel. Thanks for listening, as always. Take care. Enjoy the New Japan Cup final, however it shakes out. And we'll see you soon. Goodbye.